Today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text Number 3. Janasya Krishnad Vimukhasya Dvaivad
Janasya Krishnad Vimukhasya Dvaivad
Adharma Shilasya Sudukhitasya
Adharma Shilasya Sudukhitasya
Anugraha, sorry, Anugraha Yeha Charanti Nunam
Anugraha
Bhutani Bhavyani Janardanasya. Word for word, please repeat. Janasya. Of the common man. Krishnat. From the Supreme Lord Krishna. Vimukhasya. Of the one who has turned his face against the Lord. Daivat. By the influence of external energy. Adharma Shilasya, of one who is engaged in irreligion. Sudukhitasya, of one who is always unhappy. Anugrahaya, due to being compassionate towards them. Iha, in this world. Charanti, wander. Nunam, certainly. Bhutani, persons. Bhavyani, great philanthropic souls. Janardanasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. O my Lord, great philanthropic souls travel on the earth on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to show compassion to the fallen souls who are averse to the sense of subordination to the Lord. Purport. To be obedient to the wishes of the Supreme Lord is the natural position of every living entity. But due only to past misdeeds, a living being becomes averse to the sense of subordination to the Lord and suffers all the miseries of material existence. No one has anything to do but render devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Therefore, any activity other than transcendental loving service to the Lord is more or less a rebellious action against the Supreme Will. All fruitive activity, empirical philosophy, mysticism are more or less against the sense of subordination to the Lord. And any living entity engaged in such rebellious activity is more or less condemned by the laws of nature, which work under the subordination of the Lord. Great unalloyed devotees of the Lord are compassionate towards the fallen, and therefore they travel all over the world with the mission of bringing souls back to Godhead, back to home. Such pure devotees of the Lord carry the message of Godhead in order to deliver the fallen souls. And therefore, the common man who is bewildered by the influence of the external energy of the Lord should avail himself of their association. Translation again. O my Lord, great philanthropic souls travel on the earth on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to show compassion to the fallen souls who are averse to the sense of subordination to the Lord. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before Vidura is going to ask Maitreya questions into the nature of the Lord, about the name, fame, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord, he is first glorifying Maitreya Rishi. So he's glorifying Maitreya Rishi because Maitreya Rishi is a sadhu. Sadhu or a devotee is very compassionate. So as it is pointed out in this glorification that the reason devotees travel or sadhus they travel is to enlighten others. So therefore Vidura is glorifying Maitreya Rishi that his travel is only for the purpose of enlightening conditioned souls. And out of humility, he is considering himself one of the conditioned souls, Vidura. But we know he is not. So, pure devotees, they don't travel for the purpose of sense gratification or sightseeing. They only travel for the purpose of enlightenment. So as it is said here that the natural position of the living entity is of subordination to the Lord. That is the natural position. So there's this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 20:108. Jivera Swarup Hoye, Krishnera Nityadas, Krishnera Tatastha Shakti, Abheda Bheda Prakash. So it's said that the soul is by nature an eternal servant of Krishna. And the soul is Krishna's Tatastha Shakti, or the marginal potency, a manifestation both distinct and non-distinct from Krishna. So, as was also pointed out in yesterday's Bhagavatam class, that we are the Tatastha Shakti, we are the marginal potency of Krishna, so therefore we can choose which energy we want to be influenced by, because we are very tiny, Prabhupada said, we are teeny souls. We are very tiny souls, and because we are so tiny, we can be easily influenced by Krishna's energy, whether Krishna's superior energy or Krishna's inferior energy. So here also it is said in the verse Vimukhasya, which means of one who has turned his face against the Lord. So Mukha means face. So Vimukhasya here means one who has turned his face against the Lord. So that is the reason why we are sitting here in the material world together. But in this assembly, everyone is very special and fortunate because in this assembly, devotees have turned their face towards Krishna. But the reason conditioned souls are in the material world is because they have turned their face against Krishna, as it is said here, Vimukhasya. So the natural position is Jivera Swarup Hoye Krishnera Nityadas. We are by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. And we are always facing Krishna. So there's a few verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which explain, as Prabhupada says in the purport, only due to past misdeeds, a living entity becomes averse to the sense of subordination. So at this point of time, conditioned living entities, as mentioned in this purport and verse, are averse to the sense of subordination to the Lord. And we can see this very practically all over the world. It's all around us how people are so averse to subordinate to Krishna. In fact, even in the workplace, when people are fired, sometimes they said they're fired because of insubordination. So this insubordination is very prominent in the material world. So this is verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm sure you have heard of it. Krishna bhuli se jeev, anadi bahir mukha, ata eva maya tare, deya samsaradi dukha. So Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 20:117. So its translation is, when souls outside the realm of time and space, in the spiritual world, turn away from Krishna and forget him, maya subjects them to various miseries of worldly existence. And there's another verse from the Prema Vivarta 6.3. Krishna Bahir Mukh, similar verse. Krishna Bahir Mukh Hana Bhoga Vancha Kare Nikatastha Maya Tare Japatiya Dhare. When souls desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, maya seizes hold of them. So maya just grabs us. literally by the neck. Then Prema Vivarta 6.4 further elaborates. Pishachi paile yena mati chana hai, maya grasta jivera hai, se bhava udai. Souls seized by maya become bewildered just like persons who have been possessed by a ghost. So have you seen anyone possessed by a ghost? You've seen someone? Here? In India? Okay. In India. So they take away ghosts by, you know, tantras and different things they'll do to drive away the ghost. But a person who's possessed by a ghost, they're not in control of themselves. And they act in weird ways. They're not their normal self. When one is possessed by a ghost, one becomes bewildered. This condition befalls souls who have been seized by maya. So in the material world, everyone is seized by maya. So we are seized by the ghost of maya. So because we are seized by the ghost of maya, we are not acting according to our natural position, which is one of subordination to Krishna. So because by nature, we are very tiny and we are dependent on Krishna by nature. But because of this desire to be forgetful of Krishna, then we are now competing against Krishna. So there is this competition going against Krishna, where the living entity is saying they can do better than Krishna in subtle ways. And they don't need Krishna. And they can be happy themselves. And they can be happy and satisfied in this world. So this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, 22-24 of the Madhya Leela, literally explains how we are being seized by the neck. Krishna Nitya Das, Jiva Taha Bhuli Gela, E Doshe Maya Tara, Galaya Bandhila. So it says that the souls forgot that they are Krishna's eternal servants. For this mistake, Maya binds them by the neck. So Maya binds us by the neck because we have forgotten Krishna, and Maya binds us by the three modes of nature. So the three modes of nature are called the gunas, trigunya, the three gunas. So guna also means ropes, Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita. So each and every conditioned living entity is bound by the three modes of nature. So everyone is bound by a different rope, by the rope of goodness, passion or ignorance, or a complex combination of all three. So in this way, we are stuck in the material world. And this sense of insubordination, as Prabhupada is saying, is very prevalent in the material world, whether one is a karmi, or a jnani, or a mystic yogi. And it might be even in us also. So we see karmis are into fruitive activities. So most people in this world are karmis. If they do something, they want something from it. Otherwise, they have no motivation to act. So for most people in this world, the motivation to act is sense gratification. What they get out of it. Then jnanis are a little higher. They're a little more elevated. They understand that in this world, you cannot be happy. This world is a place of suffering. So they try to elevate their consciousness. And they try to achieve liberation from this material world. So they try to understand who they are, that they are spirit soul. And the goal of their life is to achieve liberation. That's all they want. So many people, out of frustration, then they want to go above materialistic life. And we see that people in preaching and when we converse with non-devotees, we meet so many people who are frustrated by the influence of Kali Yuga. They're badly frustrated. But out of the frustration, they want to rise above material life, but they still don't want to do anything with Krishna. So they are also insubordinate to Krishna. So their frustration gives rise to higher inquiry, but because of envy, then they don't want to do anything with Krishna. So then some people are just seeking liberation from the laws of material nature. They're seeking liberation. And they are called jnanis. So jnani in the in the strict sense of the term is someone who is performing a lot of austerities, cultivating knowledge through philosophical speculation and cultivating empiric knowledge. That's in a strict sense of the term, a jnani. So Arjuna also asked, Arjuna was confused in the Bhagavad Gita. When in the second chapter, Krishna told him that you engage in buddhi yoga. You fight by performing buddhi yoga. So Arjuna, he became confused. He took that buddhi yoga to be more or less jnana yoga. He thought buddhi means intelligence, so I should cease work by engaging my intelligence. So I should not engage in any activity, and I should engage my intelligence to refrain from fruitive activities. So then there are the mystic yogis. Prabhupada here, he talks of the mystic yogis. So the mystic yogis, they are engaged in performing yoga for the purpose of gaining siddhis. So these siddhis, there are 8 siddhis which are described in the shastras, anima, lagima, prapti, and so on. So these siddhis are just simply material perfections. So they are subtle, that is subtle materialism. So that is also, that's got nothing to do with Krishna. So there is a sense of insubordination. And we see that is even within us also. So sometimes when we are given service and we become very rebellious, I've seen in myself. So that is because of a sense of insubordination to Krishna's system. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina sattva darshana. That one can come to me through a bona fide spiritual master. So one has to submit to a bona fide spiritual master, inquire from him and render service to him. So again, there's this submission required. So submission requires humility. So in the material world, conditioned souls, people are very proud. People are very proud of their abilities. And they think they are the doer, they are the karta. So therefore they don't want to subordinate themselves to a superior personality. And even if they subordinate themselves, they do so to achieve something. So we see at work, in the university, students, they subordinate themselves to a professor. Or at work, they will subordinate themselves to the boss. But the whole idea is that they want to supersede that their boss. And they want to get something out of it. So in the material world also, the master-servant relationship is there. But it is just temporary, you know. The servant thinks, I'm a servant for now. And this is my master, and I'll please my master. And then I will become the master. So that's the idea. But in spiritual life, it's different. So in spiritual life, we understand that we are taught that we are the servant and everyone else is the Prabhu. That's why Prabhu means master. So we call each other Prabhu. So Prabhu means master. So we are meant to see ourselves in this way, that we are the servant and everyone else is the master. And then we have the spiritual master. Again, there's the master. So the spiritual master also sees himself as a servant. Prabhupada said that I am the servant of all my... He himself said, I am the servant of my disciples. So a spiritual master is also rendering a service. So everyone in this material world, everyone in spiritual consciousness is a servant, regardless of the position they're holding. So someone might be a temple president or a manager or a sankirtan leader or a bhakta. The default position is that everyone is a servant. So everyone is serving someone else. So in the material world also the politician will say, I'm a public servant. But in reality they think they are a master in a subtle way. So, and the reason they want that position is because so they can have more influence and control. So the agenda is, it is, it comes out in, you know, we are going to serve, but actually they want, in a subtle way, they want some influence and position. So the result of insubordination is living entities are suffering in this material world, as Prabhupada points in this purport, that all living entities are suffering because of insubordination. So at workplace, when there's insubordination, they're suffering. You know, you get the third degree or you're fired or there's always problems. It's a very uncomfortable situation. So when living entities are averse to the service of Krishna, then they are suffering under the threefold miseries and by repeated births, death, old age and disease. So this is the suffering. So we don't need to elaborate that because we have experienced enough and we are seeing enough of that in Kali Yuga. So here it is said that great philanthropic souls travel on the earth. So philanthropy is very common in this world. And philanthropy, the concept of philanthropy is based on compassion. So compassion means in the Nectar of Devotion, there's the definition of compassion. Basically, to paraphrase, to not able to see the distress of another living entity. That's compassion. So this compassion is there in this material world. In fact, Krishna chastised Arjuna for his stance of material compassion. So we see there's no shortage of compassion in this world. There's so many philanthropic movements. There's so many altruistic movements in this world. There's so many isms there, there's so many welfare societies out there, which are trying to help people. So there's no shortage of compassion. But the problem is the compassion is misapplied. That's the problem. So in the material world, the compassion is only towards the body and the mind, at the max. So if you see in this material world, there's so many societies and the agenda of all these societies, though they say they are doing spiritual work, it is more or less, that compassion is more or less geared towards the body. So to you know, give clothing, food, shelter, research, you know, for different ailments of the body, you know, mental help, psychiatric help, you know, someone has intellectual disability. So in this way, there's so many societies out there which are very compassionate. So this quality of compassion is there. But the problem is, it is misguided. And actually that is also a sense of insubordination to the Lord, that type of compassion. Because in that compassion, people are thinking that they can solve the problems of the world themselves. And people are thinking that they are the doer. So as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankar vimur atma kartaham iti manyate. So the spirit soul bewildered by the three modes of nature thinks that he is the karta or the doer. So materialistic people, they think they are the doer. So they think they can counteract the laws of nature or the sufferings imposed by the laws of nature by philanthropic activities. And such activities are highly applauded in this material world. And people are unable to understand Krishna-conscious welfare activities. It is very difficult for people to understand. Because people cannot understand that they are the spirit soul. And Krishna says in 2.13 that dhiras tatra namuyati. That to understand one is the spirit soul, one has to be a dhira. One has to be sober. Unless one is sober or a gentleman, meaning having control over one's mind and senses, one cannot understand that we are the spirit soul. It's very difficult. Even we can see sometimes when our mind and senses are, you know, are extremely agitated, we cannot understand that we are not this body and we act on the bodily platform. So for a common man to understand that they are the soul and Krishna conscious welfare activities, it's very difficult. And therefore, we are criticized for not doing any welfare activity. You might have experienced that. The people say, what are you doing for the benefit of mankind? They cannot understand distribution of literature, chanting the holy names, engaging in devotional service is for the benefit of mankind. And Arjuna, he was also criticized for his stance of non-violence. So in the second chapter, Krishna, he chastised Arjuna. He said, Kutastva kashmalam idam. What's that? Kutastva kashmalam idam. Vishrame samupasitam. Anarya jushtam asvargyam. Akirtikaram Arjuna. So he said, Krishna chastised Arjuna. He said, Anarya jushtam asvargyam. He said that your behavior is not befitting an Aryan. That this is not, what's the translation literally? The higher values of life. Basically said that whatever you're saying is not according to a learned person. Or an Aryan does not behave like this. So an Aryan is not someone who is from Europe. That's what is thought. That an Aryan race is originated from Europe. So the Germans, they thought they were the Aryans. And they wanted to have more of them. So they were on this quest of getting rid of people who were not fit to be called Aryans. So an Aryan is a person who knows the value of life. So Arjuna, he thought that Arjuna was very compassionate towards his relatives. He was grieving for his relatives and his friends and his uncles because they were in relationship to his body. So again, that was material compassion. And Krishna, he criticized that. And therefore, Krishna, he spoke verses 11 to 30 to counteract Arjuna's argument of compassion. Because Arjuna's argument of compassion was only to the body. Because all of these people were in relationship to Arjuna. So his grandfathers, uncles, friends, sons, fathers, they all were on the opposite side, on the other side. So then Krishna, he chastised him. And he spoke all these verses to convince him to fight the battle. And to convince him that he's not this body. So therefore, it is very difficult for people to understand Krishna conscious activities. So this compassion is originally a spiritual quality. It is not a material quality, originally. So this compassion, it originates from the Lord. And this compassion is one of the seven humors. Is one of the seven rasas, secondary rasas. So laughter, chivalry, compassion, dread, ghastliness. These are the seven secondary rasas. They're the five primary rasas and the secondary rasas. So we see Krishna is also very compassionate. And Krishna was compassionate to the kings which were captured by King Maghendra. So this king, he had captured these thousands of other kings, and he put them in prison. And then Krishna, out of compassion, when he went into the prison, because it was so dark, it became illuminated. And then Krishna, he freed all these kings. And Krishna also, out of compassion, he went at the deathbed of Bhishma. So Bhishma Dev, he wanted to see Krishna at his deathbed. Then Krishna, he went there, and out of compassion, Krishna was crying. And he forgot himself. So we see how Krishna is very compassionate towards his devotees. So in the material world also people are compassionate. And when someone is dying, people are crying for their friend or relative. But they're only crying for the body. So we are constantly changing bodies. So when we were a boy, we were a baby, we became a boy. Then we didn't lament for that change of body. Then we became a man. We didn't lament for the change of that boy body that's gone. So when we become an old man, we don't lament for the youthful body. But when we die, then suddenly there's lamentation. So that lamentation is based on ignorance, because there's no understanding of the spiritual dimension. So Krishna was telling Arjuna, why are you crying? Arjuna was literally crying. So in the first verse of the second chapter, his mind depressed, eyes full of tears. So Arjuna was crying out of material compassion, and his hairs of his body were standing on end, and he was quivering because of material compassion and out of fear. So in spiritual compassion also there is bereavement, but that is based on the proper understanding that this person is the spirit soul. So when one spiritual master passes away, of course devotees also cry. But that is on a different dimension. It is not on the material dimension. So Krishna is very compassionate, and Krishna's compassion is represented by Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani is the compassionate nature of Krishna. She represents Krishna's compassionate nature. So that's why we bow down to Srimati Radharani, because she represents this Krishna's compassionate nature. So if we want to evoke Krishna's compassion, then we go through Srimati Radharani. So devotees, because they're so compassionate, they travel all over the world, as it's mentioned in this translation. Devotees, they travel over the earth on behalf of the Supreme Lord. So we see devotees of Srila Prabhupada, then Srila Prabhupada, then all the previous acharyas, they did a lot of traveling. So devotees are very active. And especially those in the sannyas order, it is enjoined that they need to travel and preach. So of all the four ashramas, the sannyas ashram is the highest. And the duty of a sannyasi is to travel and preach. And that's because Narad Muni was cursed by Daksha. So, and since then, all the sannyasis have been traveling. So Daksha, he cursed Narada Muni, because Narada Muni, he delivered 10,000 of his, he delivered 11,000 sons. So Daksha, he begot 10,000 sons, and he asked them to perform austerities to beget children. So they went, I think they went to the west, and they went on the banks of the river Sindhu, and it was a holy place. And they were performing great austerities and penances for a material purpose, to beget children. So Narada Muni, when he saw that, he understood that they are very qualified. They are performing so much austerity. So he thought they should perform this austerity to achieve perfection in Krishna consciousness. So he preached to them, and they listened to him. So they remained brahmacharis, and they performed tapasya, and they never got married. So when Daksha found out, he was furious. But he begot another 1,000 children. Back then, they were very potent. They could, in Kali Yuga, if you just have one child and one can maintain that, one is considered a Daksha, an expert. But Daksha in those days meant that they could beget thousands of children and maintain them very happily. And so many wives also. So this is unheard of in Kali Yuga. That is potency. So then Daksha, he begot another 1,000 children, and he sent them for austerity. And then they went to the same place, and Narada Muni saw them. And this time his technique was, look, your brothers all, you know, they became brahmacharis, and they didn't enter Grihastha Ashram. So why do you want to enter and get entangled? Just stay like this and perform tapasya and go back to Godhead. So they also listened to him. And then Daksha was furious. And then he cursed Narada Muni. He said that because you did this, you won't be able to stay in one place for very long. So Narada Muni, he took that as a blessing. And he, every 3 or 4 days, he in a different place. So we see even sannyasis in ISKCON, they don't stay in one place for very long because they all are cursed by Daksha. So this course is coming from Daksha. So they're every few days or a week, they're in a different place. And in this way they are preaching. And the reason devotees travel so much is not for sightseeing. So karmis, they travel for sightseeing. Or even sometimes when people go to the dham, it is simply for sightseeing. They want to go to different places of pilgrimage to see, but not to hear from the devotees. Or just to take a bath in the Ganges or the Yamuna. So that is all sightseeing. But devotees, they travel to spread Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, he's a great example. He traveled the world, traversed the globe 14 times in 10 years. 14 times is at the age of 69 onwards. It's no joke. And a very intense schedule. And Prabhupada, he would be very regulated, irrespective of where he was. And his disciples were struggling to catch up with him. So one traveling preacher who comes here, he told me that, he has no taste for traveling. He said he doesn't like traveling at all. And he has no interest in traveling. But he simply does it just to preach, just out of compassion and preaching Krishna consciousness. Seeing a devotee. So we see devotees are traveling not for sightseeing, but they are traveling to deliver conditioned souls. And that is ISKCON's mission. And ISKCON's mission is to deliver mankind. And that is our only agenda. Our agenda is not to perform materialistic welfare activities. Though in ISKCON it's been done. That's a drift. But that's not our agenda. Our agenda is to simply preach Krishna consciousness directly. And to make people favorable in different ways. But we are not meant for mundane welfare work, just to help, opening hospitals, or we are not meant for constructing bridges, or different types of mundane welfare work. We are not meant for that. We are simply meant for preaching Krishna. We are meant to direct our energies in preaching Krishna consciousness directly. Because that activity is lacking in this world. There are so many different types of mundane welfare works. There's no shortage. The only shortage is of direct Krishna conscious preaching. So Prabhupada's agenda was very simple. Harinam Sankirtan, performing book distribution, opening restaurants, making people favorable in different ways, preaching in universities, interfaith, different types of preaching, giving people the message of Krishna. And when we do that, we make very rapid spiritual advancement. Because Krishna himself, he says, Ya idam paramam guhyam vat bhakteshva vidhashati bhaktim mai param kritva mame vaishati asamchaya. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he comes back to me. So when we preach Krishna consciousness, we make rapid advancement. So irrespective of whatever service we're doing in ISKCON, if we see it in the mood of we are in helping the Sankirtan mission, then we are in the right consciousness. Whether one is cooking or one is cleaning or in the reception or preaching directly, Prabhupada gave the example of the railways. He said that the whole idea behind the railways is that the wheels should be moving. The wheels of the carriages should be moving. So as long as that is happening, the railways is making progress. But if the train stop moving, then railways is not going anywhere. So in the railway department, in the railways, there's so many departments. Not everyone is driving the train. Right? So not everyone is in the train, the conductor or serving food, whatever. There's so many back of house things. But if everyone is in the mood that the whole idea is to more and more trains are on the tracks and more people are taking tickets, then the railway department is making progress. So in the same way, if the preaching mission of Srila Prabhupada is going on, irrespective of our service, and we are in that mood, then we make rapid spiritual advancement. And by preaching, we develop all the good qualities. We are forced to develop. If you have to preach, you have to become tolerant. You have to know Shastra. You have to live a simple life. You have to live the philosophy mainly, if you're preaching. We have to begin to live the philosophy. And we see that is also the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj, he said, my only concern is for the fools and rascals living in the cities who are making elaborate plans for material happiness. So therefore, devotees want to live in cities. So Srila Prabhupada, he established so many temples and preaching centers in the heart of many cities with the idea to give Krishna consciousness to others. So we are an evangelic movement. We are a preaching movement. In Christian terms, an evangelic movement. So we are not a movement in which we are meant to sit back and relax and, you know, go to the forest and take it easy. Or take it easy in the temples also. So Prabhupada said temples are bases where one can fight Maya. So a temple is not a place for sleeping and eating. A temple is a place where we take shelter of Krishna. We make ourselves spiritually strong. Then we go out and fight with Maya. So that is our agenda. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, he inaugurated the marathon. So that is a time of the year, the book marathon, when there is focus on book distribution. There is intense focus with the view to give as many people as possible a chance to come in contact with Krishna through these books. So it is a very special opportunity. So everyone should try, to whatever degree they can, to go out and engage in this very dear activity. This activity which is very dear to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, he would get enlivened when Prabhupada would get enlivened by hearing the scores. So there are so many, even on Prabhupada's deathbed, when devotees were bringing him the books and reading the scores to him, he himself would say, this is giving me life. So distribution of literature is Prabhupada's lifeline. This is a very important activity. And this is one of the seven purposes of ISKCON. To achieve the aforementioned purposes, to distribute periodicals, journals, magazines, and books, to achieve all the other purposes of ISKCON. So that is done by widespread distribution of literature. So time is up. I'll stop here. Do you have any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Highest bereavement, separation from devotee? Of the Lord, of devotees for each other? Devotees for each other? My understanding is because devotees are very dear to Krishna. Devotees are more dear to Krishna than himself. Even Krishna, he says that in the Bhagavad Gita. And devotees are Krishna's life and soul. So when we become dear to Krishna's devotees, or when Krishna's devotees are dear to us, we see that that's how we make spiritual advancement. That our process is not to become, you know, dear to Krishna directly. Our process is to become dear to Krishna's devotees. Is to become, I think you were mentioning in your class, that if we want to be recognized by the Lord, then if we become recognized by Krishna's dear devotees, was you mentioning or someone else? Yeah. If we become dear to Krishna's devotees, then Krishna notices us. So in this same principle, if devotees are very dear to us, then that is the highest separation. there's some verses I didn't read about. Well, that's about the... Well, where's it gone? Oops. Well, that's about the power of devotee association. Even devotees are not convinced. Yeah. It's hard for devotees to be convinced also. What to speak of non-devotees. Even sometimes devotees ask, you know, can we do something else apart from chanting and distributing? But how are we practically doing something for someone else? That is very practical. We cannot see what's going on in the background by reading books and chanting the Maha Mantra, eating prasadam. We cannot see what's going on, how their karma is being destroyed and they are taking steps towards Krishna. And of course, Prabhupada also wanted to establish farm communities, rural communities where devotees practice varnashram. And that is something which we all can, you know, see. Anything else? Yes. Well, we can only become sober by becoming more Krishna conscious. That's how we become sober. So a sober person is someone who can control their mind and senses. So if our mind is not under control, then we can easily become disturbed by, you know, if something happens to us, if someone says something or you know, something took place which is not, which we didn't want, then we get very agitated. But if our mind is under, and the mind is only controlled by focusing on the lotus feet of Krishna, because Krishna is Rishikesha. So when we chant attentively, by chanting attentively and taking shelter of Krishna, then we understand that whatever is happening to us is by the mercy of the Lord. And in fact, it's only a token misery we are getting. We are meant to get more. So that is Arjuna. He inquired the symptoms of a transcendental person, liberated person, in the second chapter of Gita. And Krishna explains that it's someone who is not disturbed by happiness and distress, who is not elated when there's material happiness, or is not disturbed by the threefold miseries. So when the threefold miseries, which will take place, it's inevitable. It's just a matter of time. A devotee might say something or things will just happen. So then we have to see that as Krishna's hand. That's Krishna giving that to us to purify us, and that is a token misery. That is only a token, and we deserve much more. So if we cultivate that mood, then we can take it in a positive way. And we can take it as a learning experience, growing experience. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.